To preach on the topic of the Trinity for the preacher is a dangerous project, because it is very easy when speaking about the Most Holy Trinity to quickly fall into heresy, because we can only know the Trinity by analogy, not in its essence, because we cannot really grasp in totality a reality that is so different in a certain sense from our own existence. I'll give you a few examples. We are not talking about three personalities of one God. God is not tripolar, for instance. We're not talking about three faces of one person. Rather, what we're talking about is three distinct persons, all sharing one nature, divine. We say in the creed that, for instance, Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. But Jesus is not the Father any more than the Father is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is that third person of love between them. Now, I'm going to stop there with the theology, because if I say anything more, I'm more than likely to say something incorrect. So, what then to think about in terms of the Trinity and our lived experience of the faith? I would argue that the Trinity tells us a lot more about ourselves than we realize. And I'll give you a few examples to demonstrate exactly how that is. For instance, the Trinity, as three persons and one God, is the first and fundamental and primordial community of persons. Community is actually a very important thing to people now. I think that the pandemic of the last few years ago really brought this out. We saw that more than the virus, what was really damaging to people was loneliness and isolation. This led, unfortunately, to the highest incidences of teens taking their own lives, not being connected to one another. More of them died that way than from the virus itself. But let's be honest. Many of us get quickly annoyed at others, don't we? The decline of etiquette and manners and decent behavior in public should only exacerbate this already contentious point. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. My goddaughter, Nicole, is not a morning person. And so for her birthday recently, I gave her a mug. It says on the mug, "I don't like morning people," or "mornings," or "people." Some of you may experience this. You're cranky pants before the second cup of coffee. You're a bear to live with. How often do we see in airports and public places complete disregard for people in the room? Whether it's bad language, people on speakerphone in a place where we're all captive audience, I fly a lot for my work. I really don't care to hear the conversation going on with the next person. I just came back from Japan, an entirely different world. In Japan, there is no talking on trains or planes. If you need to have a conversation, you take it outside to the back where you don't bother other people. No one else needs to hear your business. It's a very, in a way, private type of culture. How about other things? Our liturgy, the Mass. The Mass is the prayer of the Son, Jesus, to the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. The Mass, by its very nature, is Trinitarian. You may hear these words. They should be familiar to you from the Sacrament of Penance, Confession. Listen to the words of the Trinity. God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. We can't get around the Trinity. But let's take it to something much more precise in our context, families. The family is supposed to be the emblem or the icon of the Trinity. Think about the Trinity. Father loving Son, Son loving Father. No one is about themselves. In the members of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the third person of love between the Father and the Son. This is why, for instance, historically, and to this day, we as Catholics oppose the use of contraception. Because contraception puts a block between the husband and the wife. If you're following the church's teachings, and the husband and the wife are breathing forward a third person in marital terms, you're going to have to, after 9 months, give that love a name and open an IRA. So the Trinity is all over the place. But each of us, for instance, by virtue of being baptized, have the indwelling of the Most Holy Trinity in our very souls. This is why the Church has been, for her entire history, a champion of human dignity and human rights. Because we believe that every single human person, even if they're not Catholic, even if they're not even Christian, is made in the image and likeness of God. And so because they're made in the image and likeness of God, they have a dignity proper to their very existence, even if we don't particularly like them or care for them. It doesn't matter. This should make us markedly distinct in society, in the culture. The way that we comport ourselves as believers should be different. But let's even make it more precise, concentrating on Father's Day, on the Father. And to my fellow fathers, happy Father's Day. I too am a father. Not in the way you think, spiritual father. That's why they call us Father. Now, why do they do that, you may ask? It's because there's an expectation that spiritual fathers, myself included, are icons of God the Father. And what is the most popular depiction of the Father in the New Testament? The Father in the parable of the prodigal son. And you notice the virtues of the Father: compassionate, merciful, anticipatory of the return of his wayward son, or perhaps a distant wife who's distanced herself from the husband. The Father whose love is never-ending, it's unconditional, it waits and anticipates. And the Father's love, which is bigger than all of the sins of everyone else in the family combined. It's this enlarged heart of the Father that gives the prodigal son the idea that he can come home. He knows, he prepares a speech in his own words. I know what I can do. I can go home because there the Father will show me mercy. This is precisely the kind of fatherhood that we as fathers of natural families and spiritual fathers of communities need to be portraying. And even if you're not a father and you're here today, you might ask yourself, how do I support the fathers or the potential fathers in my family? As a Catholic man, ask yourself, what do I do to build up the brotherhood and fraternity? Because men need tribes, they need their tribes, they need their bros. And they need to know that they're building each other up positively for the sake of the kingdom, to bring their wife, their children into heaven, to lay down their life. There is no greater love than this. And to speak a word of truth in a world that generally denigrates fatherhood and masculinity. Many of you know that today on the internet, some of the most powerful and popular speakers are men who are trying to reach other men who feel disenfranchised from a society that has never emerged past Homer Simpson, the buffoon of the dad, who's just kind of weak and effeminate and lame and clueless. Is this what we expect of God the Father? Hardly. And it's certainly not what we expect of our fathers. And so you see, the Trinity, and here I'm just concentrating on one member of the Trinity, the Father, is stamped all over our existence. We cannot get around it, and nor should we try. Lastly, we might think about what the Trinity can do to teach us about marriage. I already mentioned that the Father pours out the Son, and the Son pours out himself for the Father, and the unity and the person of love between them is the Holy Spirit. Trinitarian encounter invites us to consider one simple question. How am I perceived by the other members of my family? Am I considered a loving person, an understanding person, a person of mercy? Do I come into family events with a spirit of joy and desire to be with them? Or am I much more relegated to just staring at my phone, even if we're all sitting in the same booth in a restaurant? And not paying attention, that's not Trinitarian life. Trinitarian life means putting the phone away, engaging the other persons in the community, and building up this primordial community. If you want to know why our society is so messed up, it's because most of our families are. And we as believers know that there is a better way. And that better way is no other than the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Lastly then, on this Father's Day, let us ask for the intercession of Our Lady. She is the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. When we go to Jesus through Mary, we never go wrong. She can help us learn what it is like to live as a son or daughter of our Most High God. Amen.